Blog Talk Radio.
Can sing that like George Beverly Shea. It's no secret what God can do, and he can do everything. He's amazing. He's awesome. He's God. We're looking at Romans 16:17, and it reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we come to you. We come to you because you're our only hope. You're our only help, present help in the time of trouble. Bless us, oh God, we pray. We turn to your word for wisdom. We turn to your word for instruction. We turn to your word for mentoring. We turn to your word because your word never misleads us. Your word always tells us what is the right thing to do. Even when there's 50 of us and we all each have our own opinion, your word settles it. You have the final say. Your word is the final word. So bless us, O God. Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. We are looking at this series entitled St. Paul's final warning. St. Paul's final warning. Yesterday, Tuesday, December 6th, we saw how Paul makes a strong and urgent apostolic plea. He's pleading with the people. He says, now I beseech you. Now, as I change subjects and I change my tone. If you recall yesterday, from verses 1 through 16, Paul is calm. There's nothing in the tenor Paul's voice that shows an inkling of alarm from verses 1 through 16. In fact, he's very happy. He's spreading the love. He's calling out the names of those who are his co-laborers and his helpers in the Lord. But there's a change of tone. And a calm Paul turns into an agitated Paul in verse 17. He says, now, denoting transition, denoting serving to introduce a new topic. The former topic from verses 1 through 16 was love. Love and unity and peace among us. Now, he brings a new topic. And the new topic is that our love, our unity, and our peace is at stake. He warns of a coming wolf pack. And that's where we pick it up in verse 17. He says, I beseech you, parakaleo, I call you alongside me, I the expert, I the church planter and apostle, I the shepherd of shepherds. Now remember, in Paul's day, he was ordaining elders. Paul was ordaining pastors. Paul was a senior pastor ordaining associate pastors. So he's giving them advice. He says, now I beseech you. I call you to my side that I may give you words of advice. Who is he giving these words of advice to? His brethren, his brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are members of the family of God. We call them sheep. The Bible calls them sheep. And he's warning the sheep. He's warning the brothers and the sisters who are devoted to unity, peace, and love that there's another group coming that is not devoted to peace, unity, and love. This is a wolf pack. And he says to them, let me warn you, I beseech you, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Today we're looking at the word, we're looking at the phrase, mark them. This is mark them. What does it mean to mark? To mark is a verb. You're doing something. And it comes from the Greek verb skopeo, skopeo. It means expert inspection. That's what it means. To mark someone or to mark a group is to give them a review, to give them an expert inspection. The verb skopeo means to spy out, to look towards an object, to look on an object, to give the object in question much attention, to clearly discern what the object is. For example, when my children were small, their mother purchased for them animal cards. And it had the animal cards had somewhere like 100 cards. And you had bears, and you had lions, and you had hippopotamuses and giraffes. They'd have peacocks, so forth and so on. And so we would play with the children, and I would ask the children, okay, what? I would lift up a card, what is this? And they would say peacock. And I would lift them another card, and they would say giraffe. So by looking at the cards, they had already memorized and they had already discerned which animal it was. There were times when I would pick up the hippopotamus card, and or they would pick up the card and they would say, Daddy, what's this? And I would say, if they picked up the hippopotamus card, I would say monkey. They said, no, Daddy, that's wrong. That's a hippopotamus. And that's and I would let them correct me because I wanted to show them or I wanted to see if they were discerning accurately. So in the church folk must be able to discern, like little children, they must be able to discern animals, spiritual animals. Some human beings Jesus called a fox. Others were called vipers. Others were called lions and bears and wolves. All throughout Scripture, people have been spiritually designated by giving animal names. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, Peter talks about the dog who always returns to the vomit and the sow who always returns to the mire. He's not speaking of a natural sow or a natural dog. He's talking about individuals who can be classified as dogs, spiritually speaking, and as sows. So do we know our animals? The only way you can know your animals is by what? Scopeo, by action. All people are not the same. Not everyone who comes to church is a lamb or a sheep. Some, my dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately, are wolves. And so Paul says, mark them. Now think of a hunter's rifle. Think of a hunter's rifle. Most hunter's rifles have a scope on it. And the scope helps the hunter see a deer or see what he's hunting from a long distance. This is where you get the word scopeo, scope, scopeo. So Paul says, as church folk, we should mark or we should keep our scope on those who do what? Mark those or keep an eye on those. Watch intensely. Discern clearly. Take heed of, beware of. Those who do what? Those who cause divisions. They just don't cause one division. They bring with them many divisions. They're troublemakers. That's what they are. They cause trouble. And Paul says, now, I go from a state of being calm to now I shift into a state of being agitated because I see them coming your way, and they're coming to bring trouble. They're coming to destroy the unity and the love and the peace that you have. Keep your scope on them. Now, that said, our scope does not have a rifle on it. We don't hurt people. We don't shoot people. We don't destroy people. No, we pray for wolves in hopes that Christ would save them. But nonetheless, we have to keep our scope on them. Now, this is the whole reason for keeping your scope on them. Paul says this. Let's look at the text again. Now, I beseech you, brethren, I call you to my side, and I am encouraging you to scope out, eye on, troublemakers. Keep troublemakers in your sight. Don't lose sight of them. And then he goes on to say, not only don't lose sight of them, but if you look at the last part of the verse, he says, avoid them. So let me give you an analogy. Let's just say I have a flock of sheep and I have 100 sheep. And I use my binoculars as a shepherd. I'm looking for greener pastures to take my flock. But I noticed that over the hill, I saw a big black bear. And that's trouble for my flock. So what do? I keep moving the flock away from where I sighted the black bear. Notice, I try to avoid the black bear. I try to put a distance between my flock and the black bear. That's what the word avoid means. Maintain your distance. Don't let them get close. Don't let them get in. Then as I move the flock 300 or 400 yards away, I go back to my binoculars and I look to see if the bear is tracking us. That's what it means to scope, to be a watchman. Keep an eye on troublemakers and keep your distance from them. So notice, we have a scope, we have binoculars. At the end of the scope, at the end of these binoculars, there's not a gun, there's not a rifle. We're not here to hurt anybody. We're not here to destroy anybody. That said, our job is to keep the flock away from the bears, to create distance, to create a buffer zone, to keep the flock moving. If the bear inches closer, we move the flock away. If the bear comes 100 yards closer, we move the flock 200 yards away. We try to create a distance, always on alert, always watching, always making sure that there is some distance between trouble and the innocent flock. That's what Paul is saying. Keep using your binoculars. Keep looking over the hill. Keep watch. Don't fall asleep on the job. And this is what Paul said to the Ephesian elders, if you recall yesterday. Let me take you back to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, another wonderful translation that I happen to like very much. The Christian Standard Bible reads like this, Acts 20, starting at verse 28. He says, watch yourselves. This is Paul giving advice to the pastors of the church of Ephesus. Watch yourselves and the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as supervisors to shepherd God's church, which he obtained with the death of his own son. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. They'll decimate the flock. Some of your own people will distort the word in order to lure away followers after them. Thus, stay alert. Remember that for 3 years, I constantly, carefully warned each of you. I never stopped warning you. My brothers and sisters, if you're in the church business, if you're into shepherding, you always have to keep your eyes peeled. Why? Because wherever there's a flock, there's trouble on the horizon. Always. I can give you example after example. Anytime God is doing something good, anytime God is moving and building his church, the devil and his emissaries will soon show up. I could give you example after example. Let me give you one. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. Now notice, John is the last of the Old Testament revivalists. And he begins to preach repentance. He begins to preach the kingdom of God. He begins to preach Jesus. And people from all quarters are coming to him, repenting and being baptized. Soon after, look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, notice, who are these? Wolves. These are wolves. Just read the Gospels. Just read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll know that Pharisees and Sadducees are religious wolves. The moment John the Baptist saw them, he said, "Oh, you generation of vipers, you venomous, venomous leaders, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And to you I say also, bring forth therefore fruits that meet the standard of repentance. And don't say within yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you, God is able out of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit will be cut down, hewn down, and cast into the fire." In other words, he's saying to them, if anyone here needs to repent, it's you guys. You guys are in deep trouble. God is about to lay the axe at your lives, and when he does, when you die, you shall be cast into the lake of fire. God is going to take you and cast you into the lake of fire. So notice, anytime there's a true revival going on, anytime there's a true move of God going on, you will find that the enemy, Satan, will send his emissaries. And this is why we're told, mark those. Keep an eye on those like John the Baptist just did. Put a distance between him and the people. And this is what we need to do. So we'll leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow as we continue to study this text. May God richly bless you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Lord.